Again, I'm very thankful to be here today. We continue to ask for your prayers for each other, for yourselves, and certainly beg an interest in your prayers for me as I try to preach the Word of God. You know, over the last 3 months, there's been a whole lot of topics and subjects that come to my mind. And as I've stated time and time again, I'm not here to give you my opinion. We all have opinions, and you know how much your opinions are worth. But I'll tell you right now, what God said is worth everything. As thus saith the Lord in any of these situations or circumstances. Before we move forward this morning, I'd like to, first of all, remember, as if it were yesterday, all those men and women throughout the ages that fought on the battlefields, all the way back to the Day of Independence, who gave their lives, fought, many of them died, valiant men, men of great honor, men of that had great riches, poor, all alike, gave their lives that you and I today can celebrate the freedom to come and go and to do as we please. You know, there's a freedom also that we have in Jesus Christ. For the child of God, he's been freed from the penalty of the law. You know, God's law is holy and it's righteous. And God's law demands that a transgressor must be punished. And the punishment that we should have for our transgressions that we cannot pay for is eternal separation from God. To suffer throughout all eternity, to be cast into the lake of fire, that is what we deserve. That's what every human being deserves. But you know, we have one that freed us. We're told to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has freed us in Galatians 5:1. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. We were set free not only from the penalty of the law, but also from the very guilt of the law. But it took someone dying. It took the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died, he freed us from that penalty. He freed us from what we deserved. You've heard of grace being free? It is. It's free for everyone that was chosen to him before the foundation of the world. It was without cause. Grace is not free like going through a cafeteria line and just picking it out just because you want it. Grace is bestowed upon every one of God's children who he chose in Christ before time began. Bible is clear without a doubt concerning that. But one must die. The whole point is freedom is never really free. We're enjoying the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. We have great confidence and hope that we'll not have to suffer in the lake of fire or the separation from God, but that we'll live with him throughout all eternity. And now I want to thank the men and women, all the way back to the Day of Independence, those that fought for our freedom and those who took to the battlefields, and yet for those who have fought since then to maintain the freedom that you and I have. You know, there's an old saying, and I know this from an experience in my life. When I lost my wife and daughter, I used to tell folks, I said, sometimes you don't know what you have, but you don't have it anymore. I tell you what, until we lose our freedom, we may not realize what we have in this life and how grand and great and glorious a privilege it is from the Lord our God. You know, we didn't obtain this on our own. The one thing that you can study about the men of old that fought the War of Independence in this country, they were God-fearing men. They were seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. They were fleeing religious persecution in England. And God blessed these men mightily. They went to the Lord in prayer. And I mean, when you begin to study how godly these men were, it makes you look out over the horizon of the world we're living in today, the country we're living in today, and makes you wonder what's happened. But I want to thank those men and women. I want to thank those that fought, but I want to thank most of all our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for going to the cross of Calvary, because he loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness he drew you to him. He died for you. You know, we're told in John chapter 14, verses that are just, you know, you can't take for them. You begin in Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. God didn't go back to heaven to build you a home to live in. Do you know that? God speaks and it's done. God commands and it stands fast. Read the 33rd Psalms. He went to the cross of Calvary to prepare you a place to live in heaven. That's where he went, to die in your room instead. You know, a lot of people get caught up in these mansions. I'll tell you one thing, whether you agree with me or disagree with me, the only time your body will ever be a mansion is when it's glorified like the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're in heaven where your body and you will never change. You'll be the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the glorious thing that we have to look forward to in the days to come. He went to prepare a place for us, and he did. He died. He died, and he didn't die in vain. He didn't die for a bunch of folks. If they don't make the right decision or do the right thing, there'd be nobody in heaven. By that analogy, there might not be anyone. Jesus told them in John chapter 8, he says, you will not come to me that you might have life. Furthermore, he said in John 6:44, you cannot come to me. You cannot come to me. Except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. He says, you will not come and you cannot come. Brings real light to John 5:25. Makes an understanding. Verily, verily, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Have you ever been out to the cemetery and talked to the dead? Any of them ever spoke to you? Promise you, you can sit out there till the Lord comes back, and you'll never hear a verbal word out of them. Well, when God speaks to the bankrupt, wretched sinner, when he speaks in their heart, there's an immediate change. When Paul went down the road to Damascus, when that light above, the light of the noonday sun, shined down on the Apostle Paul and he fell to the ground, he was on the way to put Christians in prison and to get rid of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, who art thou? Well, I tell you, there was a change there. He didn't ask him a bunch of questions and try to figure out what was going on. He said, Lord, who art thou and what will thou have me to do? It was a great time in Paul's life, a great experience. My experience of grace was not like the Apostle Paul's experience of grace. But I'll tell you right now, Jesus didn't die in vain. And somewhere between conception and death, he'll call every one of his dear children, every one that were given to him by the Father, out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're told that we are the joy that's set before him in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Why is that? Because he paid for your sins, and he paid for them in full. May we live our lives to his glory. You know, this morning I want to talk. We sang that song, How Sweet It Is to Die. You know, by nature, most of us are not interested in dying, especially when we're young. But there's nothing in this life, if the Lord didn't come back, more certain than death. Every one of us have experienced it in some manner or other. And most of us in numerous ways. You know, doesn't everybody live to be 80 or 90 years old or 100 and then die? I know, just as many of you know. Some folks get sick in middle age and they die. Some infants die. Some folks die tragically. You know, there's nothing more certain in this life than death. And you know, a lot of folks don't want to talk about death, but I tell you, the more you understand it, the more you realize that you were born in this world to die, the more grips you come to that, the more comfort you find in God's Word, because that day is coming. It's come numerous times in my life, and it will come in your lives again. And one day, if the Lord hadn't returned, it will come to you. You will face death itself. We're not to fear death. You know, I believe right now we're living in a time in this country that I've never seen people so scared to die. You know, I told Brother Bill Pollard over at Littlefield, he's a pilot, flew Learjets. First time he preached here in the Lubbock church, he flew some men into Lubbock, and they were on a business trip, and he came to church here and he preached for us. Flies Learjets. I said, you know, if I was in a jet with you and I was fixing to go down and I knew it, I'd be scared. But I'm not scared about dying. I'm not scared about what comes after that. I'm just not. Maybe there's something wrong with me. David said, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Do you know from the day you're born, you're walking in that valley? This life on this earth is that valley. It is. We walk in the shadow of death every day. Today, there are folks in this world who are present somewhere, and it could be here, that won't be present tomorrow. You know, we don't like to talk about it. It's not a pleasant subject, but it's one of the greatest realities as God's children that we'll ever know. Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. I'm going to tell you right now, when you lose someone, there's great sorrow. I'm not making light of it. There's nothing harder. But as I look back over my life, and I've seen the life of many others, and others sitting right here in this congregation, somewhere, somehow, by the grace of God, we kept going. We kept marching forward. You know, I don't have the answer. I didn't just click on one day. I just kept on keeping on. And by the grace of God Almighty, I'm still here today, moving on. You know, when I was young, I thought old age was way out there. But it's not too far out there now. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time and a season. I don't believe there's a set time for your death. I can prove that to be wrong in the Bible. But there is a season. Somewhere in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you can be prepared. Your time will come to an end unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Back over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that there will be those that are alive and remain at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to want to be one of those. But the older I've got and the more corrupt this world has become, I'm not sure that that's what I want. Might be a blessing to go on before. Because if you read God's word and you understand what has come in the past, it's possible it could get a lot worse. We need to seriously pray. But we need not to fear death. I believe we live in a time where people are so scared of dying that they're willing to stop living. And I don't believe that's what God intended for you and I to do. I don't believe we're to have that fear. We're told that perfect love casteth out fear. 1 John 4:18 is such a strong verse when it comes to that. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Who's got perfect love? None of us do. The only perfect love in the universe is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect love casteth out fear. If you want rid of your fears, you got to put your trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Not in the CDC, not in the media, not in anyone else but Jesus Christ. That's who you put your trust in. That's who you put your hope in. You know, we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. Why? Because we have a hope. That is the anchor of our soul, that one day we'll be with those that went before us. We have that promise, and that's part of the grace that God gives us to keep on keeping on, to go forward in life. By the grace of God, we go on. He told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. No matter what's going on in life, God's grace is sufficient for thee. He told David, or David told us in Psalms 23, favorite psalm, of everyone. You see it so often printed on the back of a funeral page when you go in, an announcement. Although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we walk through that every day that we're living in this life. He said, I will fear no evil. David said, I don't fear death. Why? Because the Lord is with him. You know the Lord's with us too. He said, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. The more you read God's word, the more you come together and assemble yourselves as God has commanded us to do, the more comfort you'll have when these times come. They're coming. You know, when you're young, and I know in my case, I thought life, old age was so far out there. It's amazing how fast the years have went by. It seemed like I was a kid just yesterday. And I know that's probably funny to some of you young people, but that's the way it seems. And it just keeps accelerating the time as you go forward. James said over in James chapter 14, he says, what is your life? Let's think about that a minute. What is your life? He said, it is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. As I said, we don't know when we're going to vanish. Many of our loved ones have vanished away. They went home to be with the Lord. We're told that our life is a moment. Abraham tells us that our home is not on this earth. We're pilgrims and we're strangers upon the earth, that heaven is our home. Don't drive your roots too deep. Don't drive your stakes too deep. Abraham didn't. He was a nomad, living in tents and moving on to where the Lord told him to go. But he knew nowhere on this earth was his home. Now, life is a blessing, and we need to thank God for it. But this song we just sang, How Sweet to Die, that's a blessing. I thought about it and asked Brother Dwayne this morning. I know Sister Sandra just loved this song, and she loved it a lot, would tell me. And the last verse, I soon shall pass this veil of death when I shall lose my breath, and then my happy soul shall fly. Oh, how sweet it is to die. You know, what's hard is for you and I. People don't want to talk about death. They don't want death preached about. But I'm just telling you, there's nothing more certain in our life the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come back than death. We're all facing that valley. We're all going to have to cross over that river unless Jesus comes back before our time is up, before we get too old and we're not going on in life. But we ought not to fear death. You go to back over into Psalms and Psalms 89. It says in verse 47, it says, remember how short my time is. This is what David said. You know, we're told in the 90th song, the 12th verse, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Friends, our days are numbered. I don't care how you look at death, the clock never stops. I don't know whether you'll be here tomorrow. I don't know whether I'll be here tomorrow. But I don't fear death. You know, I'm like the brother said from down in Florida, the preacher, Elder Philip Connolly. He said, if I get the virus, the Lord will bless me to get over it, or the Lord will bless me to come home. You know, what an attitude. What a blessing to have that focus. I can just hear that is exactly something that Brother George would have said, because Brother George was one of the few individuals that I knew that had no fear of dying. Matter of fact, he looked forward to it. He looked forward to being in the presence of Jesus Christ. He looked forward to singing that song, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see when I look upon his face. I don't care how many good days you've had on this earth. I don't care what the best days you have ever had. There'll never be a day like the day your eyes are focused upon your Savior, Jesus Christ. That'll be the greatest day that you've ever had, regardless of what you think or understand. It'll be a great day. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Only a few, those that remain, are alive and remain at the second coming. But most of us are going to cross over that veil one day. We're going to close our eyes, and this corporal body that we got, this tabernacle of clay, is going to cease. But you need to realize who you are. Your soul and your spirit, your being is inside this tabernacle of clay. And when this tabernacle of clay breathes its last breath, your spirit and soul will fly away to be with the Lord. Notice what it says in the song of Moses' prayer in the 90th Psalms. It says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The book's going to come to a conclusion on every one of us. That's what he says. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. That's 70 years old. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. You know what that tells me? The older you get, the greater labor it's going to be for your physical body to go on. And we know that. We've watched older folks. We watch them all the time, from our parents to our grandparents to loved ones of every kind. It starts at different ages, but life becomes a real struggle. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 tells us that's why the Lord said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You're strong when you're young. You have the ability to do a lot of things that you won't have to be able to do when you're old. We know folks sitting right here in this congregation that are that manner. Brother Fred, he used to do more in his church and physically than anybody I know, but the days have come that he just can't do that. That's life. That's how it goes. He's still with us, and I thank God for his wisdom, but we're going to wear out. We're going to get older, and we ain't going to stop it. The clock keeps ticking. You can put on a lot of makeup. You can paint yourself up real pretty, but on the inside, that clock just keeps ticking. Labor and sorrow. A lot of people have a lot of sorrow when they get old because the troubles they have to deal with, physical troubles, the troubles of losing a loved one and having to go it alone. We know that. That brings great sorrow in our lives. But thanks be to God. He gives us the strength to move forward in the most difficult of times. We need to remember that. You know, like I said, a lot of us have a hard time understanding. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says in verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Most people just can't embrace that. They can't get a grip on it. God himself said the day that you die is far greater than the day you were born. You know why that is? Because he knows that one he paid for is coming home, and the burdens and the troubles that he bore in this life are no longer. We'll look at that in just a moment. Psalms 116, I believe 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God himself said it is precious for one of his children to close their eyes in this life and to open them in his presence. It's a precious time. They're valuable unto the Lord. Why? Because he went to the cross and he paid all their debt. They belong to him. He redeemed us by his own precious blood. And therefore, we need to remember that as hard as death may be, it's really a good time. We mourn. We've all mourned, and we'll have more mourning to do. But by the grace of God, we'll continue on. I want to spend just a little time on another verse and look at it. We talked about living and dying. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says in verse 21, for me to live is Christ. Is for you to live Christ? Think about that for just a minute. Are you willing to live for the Lord Jesus Christ every day? The Apostle Paul was. He knew what it took to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 29 says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. We suffer in many ways through life. But Paul said, for you to live is Christ, for him. He says in verse 7 of chapter 3 of Philippians, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. I'm telling you, the more we fellowship with Jesus Christ, the more we commune with him, the more we commune with one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ, the more we will have the strength to deal with those things that come in our life, death. Like I said, it's not a pleasant subject, but it's a reality. And unfortunately, you never know when it's coming. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Think about that. To die is gain. I don't care who you are. I don't care what age you were, whether you were an infant, a 10-year-old, a 50-year-old, or a 100-year-old, when you die, it's gain. It's gain. That's hard to understand, isn't it? But for me to live is Christ. He goes on and says in verse 8 of chapter 3, yeah, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You know, he wasn't winning Christ to save his soul. He wanted to live for Christ. He wanted to honor Christ every day of his life by the preaching of the gospel, by the carrying of the churches, by the way he acted. You know, living for Christ is not something we just do on Sunday morning. It's being obedient unto his commands, to the best of our ability. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, we're told in 1 John chapter 5. Sometimes by my inability to keep them, I would say they're grievous to me, but they're not. There's got to be a willingness to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. What else do we really have to live for? He is the one that gives us eternal life. He's the one that gives us hope every day. We're saved by hope, as we're told in Romans chapter 8. We're saved by it day in and day out. We have a hope in us that keeps us from sorrowing as others who have no hope. I made mention of this many times. I flew back on a plane from Baltimore, Maryland, and been at Brother Steve's years ago, and I sat by a lady that was worshipped in a Jewish synagogue in Albuquerque, and she told me what she believed. She was like the Sadducees. She didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. She believed that when she died, that was the end. She had just returned back to fertilizer or to the dust. You know, we got a better hope than that. Even though we sorrow when the loved ones pass away, and we do, I have the greatest confidence that one day we'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ and we'll see him. We'll be there with him. Does that not help us to keep on keeping on? It does. It gives us strength in our most difficult times. It gives us comfort when it's hard to go on. He says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. All I want you to do today is realize, and I think most of us do, even when we don't want to talk about it, death is sure and certain. We realize that. But we're not to sorrow as others. And we're not to live our lives fearing it as many do today. You know, there was a time back in the 40s that I seen a comparison of what C.S. Lewis wrote about what we're going through today in comparison to when in the atomic age, when we dropped the atomic bomb on Japan, and there was great fear. And I know this was the truth because I know a lot of older folks, and I actually went into some of these. They had bomb shelters, you might say. They took boxcars and they buried them in the ground. They stored it up with freezers. They were living in fear there was going to be an atomic or nuclear war. Friends, our times, my times, according to Psalms, is in thy hand, O Lord. Our times are in the hand of the Lord. They're not in the hand of the government. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. You know, we're never going to understand all the evil that's taking place, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, as we're told in Ephesians chapter 6. Trust in the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your steps. That's a promise that you can count on in your jobs, in your families, in your marriages, in your church, in everything. Acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. Walk by faith. That's what we need. That's how we get comforted when someone goes on, is to live for Christ, but to understand that die is gain. Notice why. Every person I tell you that way. Well, let's go over to Revelation chapter 21. Talk about dying being gain. And he says in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears, not some tears. How many tears have you shed in this life? If you don't think dying is gain, think about what these words say. There'll be a day when you open your eyes in the presence of the Lord, you're going to be happy. David said, when I awaken thy likeness, I'll be satisfied. We're all going to be satisfied no matter what you think, no matter how much you love this whole world you live in. You're going to be satisfied in heaven like you've never been satisfied before. And there shall be no more death. Hallelujah. We're told in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, verse 27, it is appointed once unto men to die, and then the judgment. Once. There'll be no more death for the child of God. Isn't that is the greatest and most glorious thought we could ever have. We're not going to have any more tears. He goes on and said, neither sorrow. There'll be no more sorrows. How many sorrows you had? We talked about being over 80 years old. And all you got to know is people fall and they break their limbs. And all kinds of things happen as we get older and older. There's a lot of sorrow in our older age. But there's coming a place called heaven, called glory, where there'll be no more sorrows. There'll be no more tears. Notice what it says. And there'll be no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. How many people do you know that have lived with numerous amounts of pain in their life, suffering from all kinds of difficulties? You know, things happen to us that we don't ask for. And there's just things in this life we can't do anything about. But by the grace of God, we keep on. No matter what your troubles are, physically or spiritually, there's coming a day that God's going to make all things right. We're not going to carry the burdens and the troubles of this life. Oh, how sweet it is to die. Yeah, I think about that song when I think about Sister Sandra. I think of it so often. It was one of her favorite songs. A lot of truth in that song. For the former things are passed away. That's going to be a lot of gain there, isn't there? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. As long as I'm living, I'm going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 22 of Philippians chapter 1, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Have you ever got to that point in your life that you're between two things? That you're ready to depart because you know being in the presence of Christ is far better? Paul knows it. It's those kind of thoughts that help us to go on in life through the greatest struggles. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul said for him to live was Christ. He suffered. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked in the deep a night and a day. He was beaten with stripes many times, put in prison. And on top of that, he had the cares of the church. But there was one in the Old Testament. He asked a question that so many of us ask. People in this world have been asking this question, if a man dies, shall he live again? Job chapter 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait. He says, thou shalt call and I will answer. I believe that Job had reference to the body laying in the grave. But in Job chapter 19, we know that Job believed in Christ. He looked forward to the Lord Jesus Christ just as you and I look back to the cross. He looked forward to the cross. Some people said, well, how did he know that? God put it in his heart. He says in verse 25 of chapter 19, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That body's coming out of the grave. At the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be reunited with the soul and spirit, fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, a body that'll never change, a body that'll never have sin to corrupt it. We'll be together forever and ever. The problems that exist every day in our lives will exist no more. We'll have peace and joy and happiness beyond anything we can imagine. God's grace is sufficient, though, for us as we go through life today to help us till we get to that point. He says, whom I shall see for myself and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. While we live, I encourage you to live your life for Jesus Christ, to put your strength and your hope in Him. And I understand when those days come in our lives that we lose fathers and mothers and husbands and wives and children, and all of us have went that down that road and we all know what it's like. But God's grace will carry us on. But you know, our life is very brief. It's but a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. It won't be long till you and I are vanishing away. This has been happening for thousands of years upon the earth. And we'll go home to be with the Lord. David said we're not to fear death because the Lord would be with us. We're also told in the 48th Psalms, if I can get over there, I want to read a verse and close. In the 14th verse of chapter 48, it says, "For this God is our God forever and ever." We belong to Him. He will be our guide even unto death. The Lord will be with us. The Lord will give us grace at that hour. And the Lord will give us who remain behind the grace to handle whatever difficulties. It's hard. I'll be honest with you. It's hard. But it's real. And you know, there are people who don't want to hear about death. They don't want to read what the Bible says about it. And death comes along in their life, and a lot of them's lives are totally and completely crushed and destroyed. But death is certain. And remember what Paul said. It's gain. While we live on this earth, let us live for Jesus Christ. And to understand that He will be with us in our troubles and in our trials, and He will give us the grace we need to go on. He may not rid us of our problems, but He will carry us. Like that poem, Footprints. Sometimes, you know, there's one set of prints. It's when the Lord's carrying you. The Lord carries us a lot more often than we think. And He will get us to where we need to go. May God bless you. Is my prayer this morning.